You're listening to Pacifica's Peace Watch. I'm Verna Avery Brown. Last month, student protest in Iran sparked 5 nights of rioting in the capital of Tehran. President Bush lauded the protests, saying, "This is the beginning of people expressing themselves toward a free Iran," which I think is positive. According to the Iran Daily newspaper, Iranian leaders said that the demonstrations were being orchestrated by Washington. Government officials singled out, and by some accounts, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, attempted to jam private Persian language satellite television channels operated by Iranian exiles in the United States and in Los Angeles in particular. More recently, the arrest of the leader of the Iranian National Council of Resistance by French authorities sparked a wave of protest by Iranian exiles in Europe, with women and men setting themselves on fire. Iranian Americans are grappling with the question of how their support for the pro-democracy movement in Iran could inadvertently boost Bush's plans for regime change in that country. Sonali Kolhatkar of Pacifica Station KPFK in Los Angeles interviewed Ross Porzal, Washington-based political analyst who is active with the Alliance of Progressive Iranians, Dr. Borgeyi, political activist, writer, and professor, and F. David Dion, filmmaker of Iran is My Home, a local Iranian-American living in L.A. and who recently visited Iran. Kolhatkar asked Ross Porzal for a brief description of affairs of Iran right now and how Iran is responding to U.S. and international pressure.
The pressure is not new. You probably are aware that since the Iranian Revolution in 1979, the U.S. has had a hostile posture towards Iran. And, of course, in the early 80s, that was somewhat justified because Tehran also had a belligerent stance against the United States. But in the years since then, and since the Iran-Iraq War, the neoconservatives in Washington have really revved up their support for opposition in Iran and this the issue of nuclear weapons and the presence of Al-Qaeda and so on, and the lack of democracy in Iran. These are excuses for intervention, as in the case of Iraq, we have seen the case that they made for weapons of mass destruction and the UN involvement and so on turned out to be totally false. It is true that the majority of Iranians do want more transparency and openness in the government. However, just as we have seen in the case of the U.S. itself, the presence of a foreign threat leads to the opposite of that. In other words, right now in the United States, we have fewer civil liberties and less transparency in government. The right wing is on the ascendancy. Therefore, the pressure from the United States on Iran has had the opposite effect of what it purports to have. In other words, it has strengthened the anti-democratic forces in Iran.
Dr. Borgeyi, can you also tell us a little bit about your perspective on the situation inside Iran right now? In at least last month, there were student protests in Iran with 5 nights of rioting in Tehran. And since then, of course, there has still been a lot of demonstrating and unrest in Iran. What do you think is happening?
In fact, that shows that how much the system or the religious right has failed, because they have a very tight policy to let who goes to the university and purify as much as they can by all kind of the tests, make sure that there are those who are good religious young people will attend the university, and the 3 filters they have to get them in. But after all of that, when you have all this demonstration, it showed how much the system has failed and could not actually take the sympathy of the younger people and be accepted by the society. And there is a reaction, hard reaction. So this is a kind of the top of the ice to show that how much the society is against of this theocracy that exists.
I want to bring into the conversation Faribor's David Dion. You are a filmmaker here. You're a local Iranian-American living in Los Angeles. From your perspective here, what do you think the situation among Iranian-Americans is? How are Iranian-Americans responding to what's happening back home? And can you also address the fact that some were saying there were Los Angeles-based Persian channels that were being beamed into Iran inciting the riots?
Well, the Iranians in the U.S. are possibly divided. There are those who've parted with the past in a way that unfortunately keeps them separate from the events inside Iran. I'm sad to say that is possibly the case. And those who, as you mentioned, are involved in different levels to try and bring democracy to Iran. Someone once said that a radio or television station in exile can't start a revolution inside the country. It's the people who've lived there and possibly suffered for 20-plus years that will bring that kind of change about. But obviously, in a country where journalism is controlled, where there's censorship in the news, it does help for a television station to broadcast from the United States inside Iran to bring certain types of news to the people who otherwise have no access to this kind of information. So possibly they are fueling the activities in Iran, and why not?
So you would give them some credit, but not all?
Absolutely. There is a lot of credit. Well, I give them a lot of credit because these are people that are working hard to develop something or other. Not all the television people in Los Angeles are experienced politicians, possibly. But they do have a microphone and a camera, and they are dedicating time and energy to bringing change about, so they deserve a lot of credit.
How do you respond to the fact that there is, at some level, a fueling also of the Bush agenda, sort of an ironic thing, but right now, as we have this call for democracy within Iran, it is only fueling the regime change idea in the Bush administration. How do you reconcile that?
Well, you know, politics is politics. Politicians tend to take advantage of situations to their advantage. That's the nature of the game. The United States supposedly backed Saddam against Iran in the Iran-Iraq war, and Bin Laden, I hear, against the Russian presence in Afghanistan. And if the winds change to what's happening today, possibly the Bush administration will suddenly become a supporter of the students in Iran.
And of course, the consequences of the U.S. Siding with you are pretty grim. I want to ask Ross Pourzall your opinion on this very same question, that while there is this activity happening in Iran, the Bush administration's rhetoric about the situation in Iran and changing the regime in Iran has only heightened. How do you reconcile these two issues?
I also differ with Dr. Bourgaï's assessment of the situation. I think it's very important for us to keep in mind that there are several hundred thousands of college students in Iran now, and the people who protested in the last couple of weeks or on previous occasions, there have been intermittent protests of this size and nature on Iranian campuses, and there are only a few thousand students. So this is a small minority of Iranian students. That is not to say that I discount the protest and not to say that it's not a popular cause, but what I'm trying to say is that we shouldn't let anybody tell us that this is very widespread and that it is, I mean, discontent is widespread. However, to really get very optimistic and hopeful about the extent of the activism and the strength of it, I think is misleading. One question that the Iranian progressives, including a lot of my friends and fellow dissidents, have not been able to adequately answer is why the masses of Iranians have not joined the intellectuals and dissidents and students. And I think until you answer that question, it is a very big question mark in terms of whether this is going to go anywhere. As far as the question of American influence and trying to whip up things, I'm also about that. I think it's a pretty cynical situation of interference, in that the Bush administration and the right wing of the Republican Party, in fact, are curtailing freedoms in this country and diminishing the amount of democracy that there is in this country, and they break America's own laws right and left, including the Constitution in the case of the attack on Iraq. It's a very unilateralist approach, both within the United States and on the international scene. So I think it's a very weak stance, position, to believe that the U.S. is purveyor of democracy, even if you're too young to remember what Mr. Bush's predecessor, Ronald Reagan, you know, all the atrocities that he ordered in Central America and all the other situations, going all the way back to the Philippines and Indonesia and so on and so forth. I don't for a moment believe that the intention is to bring democracy to Iran. I think the intention is to provoke more repression in Iran so that the public will not forget why they had a revolution in 1979, which was independence for the country, freedom, as well as economic democracy, in other words, redistribution of wealth.
I want to bring in Dr. Borghaei back into the conversation. If you can respond to some of the things that Ross Pourzale has said, whether you agree with them or not, and also what your stance is on the pro-Bush agenda versus the pro-democracy agenda within Iran.
Actually, I would be happy to answer that one. I think that this satisfaction is widespread in the country. In fact,
in which country?
In Iran, mm-hmm. with the government, is very much so. Students is only, as I told, like a tip of the ice, in fact. That is very well spread. The whole country, the majority of the country, are against this mullahs. Or the theocracy, although the hardliner. But the whole thing, in fact, is that LA radio and the Bush administration policy is not only helping, is having a negative effect on that. It legitimized the hardliner to crash the student movement. That's one reason. The second, all the political group, one of the reasons they do not come openly support the students, just because there is that LA TV down here, and America, and they become identified with the American policy, and they do not want any of them to be like that. Iran is a very independent country. They don't want to be considered as a puppet of America, and I should say, to be honest, this propaganda that we are talking about, the TVs and all of them in the LA, is like sometimes you have coming some people, for example, in medical arena with mysterious power and heal the people from the TVs. There's a kind of a charlatanism.
We
do have the same political charlatanism. It doesn't help. It has a negative effect.
Let me bring Faribor's David Dion into the conversation and ask him to respond to what you just said about the role of LATV in sparking these riots.
Well, as I said earlier, I understand all points of views here, and I'm here not from a political background, but rather a civilian point of view. The truth is that a television station in exile cannot necessarily create a revolution or work against it. We're simply tools. And when it comes to a situation like this, when it comes to exposing the truth, when it comes to exposing the dissatisfaction of a people inside a country where news don't get in and out of that area as easily as a place like, you know, United States or some European country, any form of media helps. Newspapers in Los Angeles, radio stations, television stations, they cannot work against the system. Yes, I understand that there are certain groups here that are taking advantage of the situation and becoming heroes. But that is smaller than the overall picture. We can't make it happen or stop it from happening. One thing that the gentleman said about the Iranian people not wanting to be a U.S. puppet, yes, Iran is a new Iran, is a young Iran, is a very educated Iran. Perhaps we've never had an Iran like this. There is a lot of young energy in Iran, and people are more aware than ever before. They're exposed to the internet, to certain publications and cable TV and so on. But whether it's good or bad, it seems like a lot of people inside Iran, based on what I hear...
And you were there recently.
Yes. There is a pro-Western and pro-America sentiment amongst the young Iranians, whether it's on the surface, whether it's a brand of tennis shoe they praise, or a certain music channel that has attracted their attention.
So they are wooed by globalization?
They are, as they've always been. Possibly this has happened in China and other countries. When you restrict a nation for so long, you get reactions like this.
I want to just put in into this whole conversation, comment that one of our callers made, who says that the pro-Bush Iranians are pro-monarchy and against what Iran voted for, in essence. Can you respond to that, or Ross Porzal? Ross Porzal, would you like to respond to that?
Well, yes, that is my point of view. The most openly part of the opposition that's allied with the Bush administration are the monarchists, and they're the best funded, and they are the people who own and control these a dozen radio, 24-hour radio and television satellite broadcasts to Iran. Of course, the funding is very suspect. You know that there's no way that they could be paying for all of this out of advertising. So they are the same corrupt class that were rejected in Iran in 1953 before the CIA mounted the coup and brought them back. And they're the same corrupt class that were once again kicked out in 1979. And now, of course, the right wing of the Republican Party is adamant about bringing them back to Iran. And I want to also tie this into something that was said just a moment ago about the popularity of America and Western lifestyles in Iran, and among those things, freedom of the press. I sharply disagree with the gentleman you have there from your listening area about freedom of the press. I think we have seen over the years, and especially since 9/11, that press are not free in the United States, not because they're censored by the government directly, but because they are corporations that benefit from war and militarism and globalization. So even though the print media are somewhat better than TV networks, but nevertheless, American people don't get really substantially more information, true information, than Iranians do. It's not because the U.S. government throws a journalist in jail, but it's because they censor themselves. The people who are heard the most, both among Iranian Americans here as well as the news outlets in the U.S., are the ones who are in love with this system, that it works for them. There is democracy in the U.S., but only for a minority of middle class and upper middle class.
We only have
that's the picture that's being presented to Iranians of what life is like in the United States, and that's a false picture. They love to have this.
We only have a few minutes left, and I want to give all my guests some closing comments. Actually, Faribor's David Dian, if you can respond to that, and then we'll close with Dr. Borghaei.
I think that it's important to note that we're having this conversation here on this radio station. We have three people with possibly three slightly different points of view having a forum like this. And this kind of forum is not possible in many, many, many parts of the world. And the truth is out there for people who seek it. It's one thing to block it completely out of the system. It's another for the silent majority not to be interested in it. But at least in certain Western countries, we have the ability to find that information, and in other places, that's impossible.
And I should say that actually this kind of conversation is probably not very common among the corporate media. We are here at an independent media outlet. Dr. Borghaei, your last comments on what we've been talking about so far in a few minutes.
Yeah, from the look in the Iranian to America, I believe we have this kind of the love and hate relationship. Love in for two respects. They want this American values like freedom, democracy. Whenever look at the country, also they think they here is the best kind of the democracy and freedom. So that's what they desire for. also they need look for some kind of help to get rid of their oppressor and their government. These two bring the love for the America. But the hate part is just they do not trust America, and they are very pessimistic about that. They don't think that America want to, in any of these two, help them. They don't think that America want to have the American value prevail in Iran or any third world country, and actually is against that one. And they don't think that they are going to help them to get rid of their oppressor, but they make a deal behind the scene as they did before in Iran-Contra and all of them. So that's they don't trust America, and they don't want to be identified with the American administration.
Dr. Borghaei is a political activist, writer, and professor. Ross Porzal is a Washington-based political analyst who is active with the Alliance of Progressive Iranians. And F. David Dion, filmmaker of Iran is My Home and an Iranian-American living in L.A., all recently spoke with Sonali Kolhatkar of Pacifica Station KPFK in Los Angeles.
You sing of freedom. But those you chain call out in vain, for you don't see them, you've gone to war. War on every shore, you sang of freedom. A bomb for healing. And take away all hope for they who have to pay up and go to war. War and war and war, you pledged away up. You call for justice. You said you love peace.
Star Wagon. Well, while U.S. troops are deployed in Iraq, the Bush administration has cut several million dollars from the budget of the Veterans Administration. Today, in the U.S., 34 million people live in poverty. In the nation's capital, more than 17,000 residents are homeless in a population of 523,000, and more than one-third of them are veterans. Brian Wilson, a Vietnam veteran, now a peace activist, was in D.C. to celebrate the 4th of July and spoke with DJ Santos of Pacifica Station WPFW's Radio Co-op about what the 4th means to him and about his war experiences.
I was a combat security officer in Vietnam, protecting air bases from attacks. This is in 1969, and also I had extra duty of going to villages after airstrikes to assess the success or failure of the bombings. And what I discovered was a deliberate and intentional policy of basically wiping out all the villages in the area where I was, in Phong Dinh and Binh Long provinces in the Mekong Delta. And so I witnessed somewhere between 800 and 900 murders of civilians, mostly young women and children. And that turned me against the war, and it actually began a long process of questioning virtually everything that I was ever taught about the United States, its history, its values, its kind of unraveling its mythological fantasy, which is basically I spent the rest of my life and still doing that while I'm trying to, you know, develop an alternative way of living with understanding of ecology and philosophy and psychology different from the paradigm I grew up with.
Could you tell me what the 4th of July means to you?
Well, of course, in my memory of growing up, it was a wonderful time of celebration, not only my own birthday, but the birthday of the country, but subsequent to my military experiences, July 4th has taken on quite a different meaning for me personally. First of all, I do not like noises and fireworks, so I avoid fireworks, which are everywhere. But politically, I think of it as a day to re-examine the entire origin story of our civilization and not to be so pompous and blindly loyal, but to maybe perhaps begin thinking that we need our first genuine people's revolution that can deal with class. When I say revolution, I mean nonviolent revolution. I'm basically a Gandhian. I think it's a time to really question what this country means and what it's all about and what it's always been all about. I mean, it's basically been founded on and sustained by violence and lies and exploitation. Although there certainly are good things about our country and have been good social movements, the prevailing value system of oligarchic structure and greed has never been really overturned. And I think it's time that we address that issue if we want to survive, not only as a nation, but as a species. And I think July 4th is a good time to do it, even though most people don't think about that. But that's what it means to me.
Brian Wilson is a Vietnam veteran speaking with DJ Santos about the 4th of July. Thanks to Reem Kadhuda and the D.C. Radio Co-op at WPFW Pacifica Station in Washington, D.C. for that segment. Pacifica's Peace Watch is produced in Washington, D.C. Our producer is Scott Gurian. Our editor is Lona Elias. Our engineers today were Scott Gurian and R.H. Brown. Our associate producer is Angelique Shofar. We had production assistance from Jim Bennett, Otto Hammond of KPFA, as well as Christopher Sprinkle. I'm Verna Avery Brown, the executive producer. Thank you for listening.